Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Alrighty, away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. NBA game ones in the books. With you did have the Boston Celtics two nights ago find a way to pull a game out that they should not have. The Pacers just messed up that game at the end. Brown hits the three. And then in overtime, Jason Tatum finally said, okay, I'll have a pulse. I'll wake up. I will do my job, and I will show up. And he did go on to have 10 points in overtime. So you got to see that game one go Celtics' way. You kind of look at back at that game and go, Indiana, they lost the game they should have won, and they're in a 1-0 spot. And the way that I look at that is that, you know, I learned from that game that, yeah, the Celtics could win this series. The Pacers, they don't have a shot in this series. And I want to see Jason Tatum be more aggressive here in game two. And we'll see if he could do that coming up on Thursday night. But we're going to pivot here for a second. We'll get back to the NBA because we have a special guest on the line now. He gets us, is teamed up with Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Brandon Cooks to host the second annual free football camp and carnival. Thanks to He Gets Us support, approximately 750 Stockton kids and their families will be expected to participate, and attendance is free. And now joining us is the Dallas Cowboys wide receiver in Brandon Cooks. Brandon, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this, and how you been?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me. How you guys doing?
I've been fantastic. So what does this mean to you to be able to go back home and give back to the community?
I mean, it's always, it means a lot, right? You know, a community that helped raise me, any chance and opportunity I can give back, especially to the kids. I remember when I was a kid, obviously, we all would love to have those opportunities. So I think it's always important to go back to your hometown and give back and have fun with the kids.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for what you've had to go through in life because, you know, I don't understand how people get through life when you lose a parent at such a young age. I know your father died when you were six. How did you go on to accomplish what you did while having to overcome that difficult part of losing your dad at such a young age?
Yeah, I mean, I got to give a lot of credit to my mom, you know, raising me and my three older brothers and seeing her work ethic being installed in us, you know, being the youngest. I've always promised my mom that, I want to change her life. So I'm thankful for a lot of people around me and support to help keep me on track. But at the end of the day, I think it always comes down to work ethic and, you know, being hungry.
Why did you fall in love with football, and when did you kind of fall in love with football?
I would have to say, like, you know, it was one of those things. My mom put me in every single sport, right? And then my older brothers played, and I was always that young one on the sideline waiting my turn. I think the biggest thing about football for me was just, you know, the competitive nature, you know, and always being told I was too small. So using that as motivation to show people and, you know, be able to prove people wrong. So
when did you realize, hey, you're pretty damn good at this football thing and you could go on to do this professionally, Brandon?
You know, I'll have to say, like, when I was young, you know, Pop Warner, but then really, like, you know, getting into high school, you know, going to different little camps here and there outside the state, I'm like, okay, I can really do this thing. I can really, you know, do it at a high level. So I would really say kind of going into that junior year of high school, going to some of those Nike camps and being able to compete with all the other kids around the country.
And you went on to have a very successful college career. You won the Biletnikoff Award. How did you kind of, all these years later, reflect and look back at your time at Oregon State?
Man, I got to tell you, I wouldn't change it for the world. I remember going to Oregon State, you know, the two brothers, the Rogers brothers, you know, was there at the same time, you know, at that time. I'm like, man, Coach Riley know how to use short guys. He used a pro-style system, made that decision to go, and it was one of the best decisions of my life. So when I look back at it, I'm very thankful for my time there and got a lot of love for Beaver Nation.
Yeah, what was your recruiting process like, just wondering?
Yeah, no, I had all the, you know, the whole Pac-12. You know, at first I was committed to UCLA. At the time, Rick Neuhauser was the coach. He had just got, you know, fired. And I remember Riley coming over to the house and sitting down, you know, in my living room, eating dinner with me and my mom and stuff. And it was just a no-brainer because, like I said, it seemed like he had a lot of success using, quote-unquote, shorter guys in his offense.
Talking to Brandon Cooks, you've had a very successful run at this in the NFL. You've got to play with some legendary quarterbacks. What do you take away from your time being able to be teammates with the great Tom Brady and also Drew Brees?
Man, I got to tell you, that you're talking about two guys who helped form, you know, my process, my routine, especially, you know, Drew, you know, coming out of college, and that was my first quarterback, just to see how regimented he was and how great he wanted to be, already accomplishing everything. And then you get over to Tom, his mindset, you know, when he's in that field, it's so contagious. It's like, you know, no one can mess with me type mindset. And so I'm definitely thankful for my time with him. And really Coach Belichick at the same time, him and Peyton had a huge, you know, impact on early on in my career, you know, starting and making me learn my process.
Is that surprising to you, right? We know the Patriots moved on from Bill Belichick, but he didn't get another job this offseason.
Man, you know, it is very surprising to me because, in my opinion, and I think a lot of what people will say, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I think he does things a little different. But at the end of the day, you know what you're going to get from him. And that's why I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of love for him. You know, he changed my way on how I thought about football and became a student of the game. So I was definitely shocked he didn't get another opportunity. Because there's no doubt he'll still be one of the best coaches in this league today.
Have you been following the documentary that was released? It was very negative against Bill. You know, you had a little bit of that Tom Brady roast. Like, have you been watching the Brady roast,
you know,
and the Belichick doc?
To be honest with you, I haven't caught it because I heard that, and I'm like, you know, that's tough to swallow. I'm like, granted, I only was there for 1 year with him.
Sure.
But, you know, we still stay in touch. And like I said, the way that he changed, you know, my thought process about the game, becoming a student, that's unfortunate because at the end of the day, he still went out there and won those rings. And granted, yeah, it was with Brady, but still at the same time, he had to formulate those teams in a way that everyone would have been afraid to do. So it's tough when I hear, you know, some of that going on.
Brandon Cooks here with us of the Dallas Cowboys. You also got a chance to play with Jared Goff. We know that it didn't have a great ending in L.A. He gets shipped off to the Lions. Stafford eventually wins a ring with the Rams, but Goff has had a big redemption story and got a big contract, and that Lions team, you know, was very good a year ago. How about what Jared Goff's been able to accomplish?
Yeah, JG, I'm rooting for him only to an extent until we play him in the playoffs. So I'm always going to be a fan of JG, you know, Northern California kid. You know, we both grew up there. I'm super happy for him just because, you know, he went and took his game to Detroit. Everybody thought, you know, his career is going to die with that. And next thing you know, he changed that team. He changed that city. And I love seeing him, you know, have success, I said, to an extent.
How about, yeah, right? You got to be careful with that one. How about your quarterback now, though, Dak Prescott? What really stood out with the relationship you guys were able to form last year?
Yeah, no, Dak, man, I don't even know where to start. You're talking about a human being, first of all, that I got a lot of love for, even after 1 year of playing with him, you know, having a brother for life in him. But let's talk about his game on the field. You're talking about, you know, leading the MVP race for, you know, pretty much the whole season, you know, coming in second in that MVP race this past season, only being a year, you know, in Mike McCarthy's offense, now having a second year on his belt. I mean, you talk about a guy who's special, can do everything. He gets a lot of stuff, but that's what you're going to get when you play for the Dallas Cowboys. But I wouldn't want it no other way, and I know he wouldn't either because he's going to continue to show up to success.
And you know this, he's in the final year of his contract. I thought a long-term deal was going to get hammered out this offseason. Are you disappointed up until this point that they haven't figured out that contract with Dak?
You know, I wouldn't say disappointed because obviously we know the business side of this, but I will say the longer, you know, that you wait, the price is going to continue to go up because no doubt in my mind, the year that he had last year is only going to continue to get better, like I said, in his second year of Coach McCarthy's offense. But, you know, like he does, he's going to trust the process. His team going to trust the process. And I'm pretty sure they'll get something to figure out at some point.
So you'd be shocked, right, if he's playing for a new team next year because that's been a conversation.
I would be extremely shocked, especially after what he's getting ready to do this season.
How about your coach and Mike McCarthy being able to be in his system last year and getting to know him? You've been around a lot of successful coaches. How about Coach Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, that's another one. You know, you talk about Coach McCarthy, he's going to go down in history in this game. You know, once again, you know, last year was learning new offense. This offseason is just crazy how much more ahead we are of things and just see his flow. Even in his process, getting better. I got a lot of love for him as well, and I love playing for him. You know, he's not only a great coach, but he's a great players coach at the same time. He listens, and that's huge when you have a head coach in today's game. You know, we all want to play for him. We all want to win for him, and that's what we're going to do.
So this team, right, I know you only were there for one year, but the last few years they win a lot in the regular season. They haven't got the job done in the postseason. Entering 2024 in this upcoming season, come the fall, why is this team this year capable of getting over that hump and having a different outcome for the Cowboys?
I think the biggest thing I could say is the team is really focusing on internally and tuning out the noise and distractions, right, and not going with the media roller coaster. Obviously, we all know Dallas Cowboys can be the greatest team, you know, in the world one week, and the next thing, you know, we're not. And so that ability to really just focus internally on our process and leaning on one another and having no excuses. I think just this offseason, this team has that mindset. And so I'm hoping that carries, you know, throughout the season and going forward.
I'd be remiss before we let you run, Brandon Cooks, if I didn't ask you about CeeDee Lamb. Your year together so far, I know that's your guy. How has he made you? Like, you're the vet, right? He's younger, but you guys probably are very competitive in a good way and probably able to learn a lot from one another.
Yeah, I mean, to be so young and do what he's been able to do, it's special. There's no bigger fan and nobody rooting for him more. Same thing, you know, there's no doubt in my mind the contract could get done. It's all a part of the process. But like you said, we compete against one another in practice. Iron sharpens iron. You know, I learned from him. He learns from me. And that's the beauty of this all. There's no ego in no way or fashion. So, that's my dog right there, and I can't wait for him to get everything that he deserves.
And then before we let you run, just tell us once again, you're partnered up with He Gets Us, and you're doing something really cool back in your hometown.
Yeah, you know, partnering up with He Gets Us, you know, my faith has always been my foundation. I think the beauty of what He Gets Us is doing is just making that message, loving our neighbor, right? And who's our neighbor? People that don't look like us, talk like us, dress like us, whatever case may be. So I think it's such a huge positive message. And also partnering with them to go back to my hometown where there's a lot of crime and a lot of things going on. I think it's a positive way to not only do something for the kids in the community, but also spread a positive message. And I'm thankful that I get to partner where He Gets Us in our long-term relationship for sure.
Well, he's Brandon Cooks. Brandon, always appreciate the time. Good luck. We appreciate it. Thank you.
No doubt. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it. There he is, Brandon Cooks of the Dallas Cowboys joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Good conversation with him. Good perspective. We'll see if this year is different for the Dallas Cowboys, but they're trying to block out the drama. A lot of the drama, though, is right there because of the future of Dak Prescott. You know, I thought the way he said it was actually, he's not wrong. I know Dak says he doesn't care about the money, but we know Dak does care about the money because everyone cares about the money. But the longer you wait to pay a quarterback, the price just goes up and up and up. if the quarterback is able to just be solid, just be good. Like, if the Cowboys don't want to pay Dak, someone else will pay Dak, even if you don't think he is a great quarterback. And he would be shocked if they don't find the way to get a long-term deal done. And I still lean more on the side that he'll be back in Dallas next year. But the ball is in Dak Prescott's court just because of the fact that he could get free agency if he wants to, because he has a no-tag clause in his contract. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So just to tie things together, we weren't sure when Brandon was going to be joining us, and it was nice of him to pop on board there for about 10 to 12 minutes, and we appreciate his time. Just what I learned from Game 1 of both series. In Game 1, Mavericks and Timberwolves, you learned the power of Kyrie Irving when Kyrie is locked in. We saw it get ugly, Kyrie's fault in Boston. We saw it get ugly in Brooklyn, Kyrie's fault in Brooklyn. Now Kyrie, for now, is in on what you are seeing this Mavericks team try to do. And when he's all in, he's a top 10 player in the sport. And you've seen this great dynamic duo be formed by Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, where Kyrie was awesome in the first half, and then Luka was sensational in the second half, and both go for over 30 points last night. Now in the East, you kind of just see, even when the Pacers played, for the most part, a perfect game, up until the final minute, that the Celtics are just so much better than everybody else in the East. And that's why I just don't believe the Celtics are going to find a way to lose four games to the Indiana Pacers. I can't see it. And that was the game they could have won. And I kind of took away from that game that, even though I thought going in this series was going to be five games, this series will be over very soon. I think the Celtics have a big boy effort tonight, because they got away lucky in Game 1. And I think that makes them go to a different level after being 0-2 so far in Game 2s in this series, in this postseason. I think they find the way to get one. And I think they win the game tonight and go back to Indiana. Indiana will win one on their home court, and then I think the Celtics will wrap the sucker up in five games. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Good chat there with Brandon Cooks. Really did enjoy that conversation. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We will get to a news brief.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
All right, it is the Infinity Sports Network right here. It is the Zach Gelb Show. We'll get to news brief in just a second. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start off with Luka Doncic and how he approached the fourth quarter last night up against the Timberwolves.
I just said to myself, you know, we got to win this game. I got to be way better because three quarters, I didn't play good. So I just came in the fourth, get to my spot, and lead the team to win.
And we hear from Jason Kidd. He says the Mavs are embracing the underdog role.
We're the underdog, so we're just going to, you know, embrace that role and play and understand that's what we are. And on the road, we got to find a way to win.
And they did that last night, and now they're up 1-0, and they're playing with house money in game two. And a big reason because of that was the start to this game with Kyrie Irving and how sensational he was. 24 out of his 30 points did occur in the first half. Here is Kyrie Irving on his strong start to the game.
We just had to start off the game with an aggressiveness and just make sure we bring Rudy away from the basket as much as possible. We understand that's defensive player of the year. They got first team, second team, all defensive guys. So as much as we could attack them in transition before they set their defense, which I got a few opportunities to do, got a few N1s to go. So I was feeling good in the first quarter and just settling you know, where we are, and it's the Western Conference Finals. A lot of anxiety, some nerves. I've been here before, so a little bit more poise on my end, just being able to start the game with the confidence and that aggression.
So let me get to this clip, NBA on TNT. Stu, was this before or after the game, during where the Timberwolves fans were chanting Draymond sucks? But do you know when this was?
I think this was during the pregame party.
Yeah, I was going to say, because after the game ends, you lose the game. If you're chanting Draymond sucks, Draymond has every right to just throw it right back in your face. So let's hear Timberwolves fans chanting Draymond sucks.
Meantime, we've mentioned how long it's been, Draymond, that we, since we've had the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals.
That's pretty good. And remember, he had that incident with Rudy Gobert earlier in the year. I'm all there for the Draymond Green trolling. Let's go back to Kyrie Irving. Listen up to this question on using Anthony Edwards' comments for motivation. This is Inside the NBA.
You with your beautiful family just chilling, probably having a nice meal, and then the young fella says, I got Kyrie. So, and you said, excuse me?
Yeah.
And he said it again. He said, I got Kyrie.
Yeah.
That's the most aggressive you've been in a long time.
Yes, sir.
I know that had to irk you a little bit.
Used it as a motivation. You know, when I was sitting at home and I saw it, I was like, it's just a nod of respect. And then also, I knew what type of game was going to be game one and also for the rest of the series. So you're right. I was at home with my family watching game seven.
You just minded your own business.
And then Ant comes out and says, I got Kyrie. But also, that's a no-fear mentality. And that's why we love Ant.
I'll just ask this question. We'll go around the room. I'm curious what the responses are. Kyrie Irving being a good soldier now, being all locked in. You happy by that? You satisfied with that? Or is it something that's like, it just brings back up how frustrated you are why he acted the way that he did in Boston and Brooklyn? Because you see when he's locked in how special of a player he is. So I'll start with Stu.
I like it. I think it's good, and I think people can change and become better. So it doesn't frustrate me. I just hope he continues these ways.
Which I don't know if he can be very confident he will.
I don't know if he will either.
Colton?
You have to be excited. He's such a talent. So the fact that he finally figured it out, because this might have been the last stop for Kyrie if he didn't figure it out. I don't know what. He'd probably end up in Charlotte maybe. Like
Cancun on three.
Yeah. So, I mean, absolutely. You got to be pumped for Kyrie.
It annoys the heck out of me. Because the guy was such a jerk in Boston. He was such a jerk in Brooklyn. It's like, why couldn't you have made it work in Boston or Brooklyn? And here, you've been good for 2 months, and you're a great player. So I just feel like we were robbed because Kyrie was doing what Kyrie does, which was absolutely insufferable the last few years. Let's go to Anthony Edwards and what went wrong in the game one loss.
We came out flat today. I mean, and then we found our energy, then we went back to being flat, so I think it was just on us. Everything was on us today. I didn't get downhill as much. Yeah, just stuff like that. We was just a little tired, probably.
Little tired? Well, what are we... This is game one of the Western Conference Finals. Game seven of the second round. And seriously, that was on Sunday evening. You know, that was Sunday. What are you getting tired about? That's crazy. By the way, did you hear that little mm-hmm in the background? Did you hear that? Oh, I'm doing the, probably shouldn't admit this on the air. I'm doing the HR requirements by our company throughout this show, and I guess one of the videos started to play. Trying to kill two birds with one stone, do some of the HR videos during the break. So I don't have to do too many of them when I end up getting home. So, you know, it is what it is. Let's go to Tyrese Haliburton. He blames himself for the game one collapse where the Indiana Pacers had victory and they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Win, lose, good game, bad game, they're all lessons. Like, it's my first playoff run. I'm learning a lot. And I think yesterday was honestly, like, it sucks that it happened, but it's good for me. It's good for me. It's something that, you know, it's kind of, it's really one of the first playoff games that I really feel like, man, I it up. You know, like, it's on me. So, you know, it's good to learn. I'm 24. I got a lot of time. But, yeah, I'm trying to win right now. So I'm just trying to learn every day, learn from every game, and I feel like I'm going to do that.
Nah, it's not good for you because you lost the game. And you can't just squander away an opportunity like that because you're not a better team. You're not even close to being a better team than the Boston Celtics. LeBron James on the Mind the Game on X says he's rooting for Caitlin Clark. Listen up.
More people want to watch. More people want to tune in. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it f***ed up. Caitlin Clark is the reason why a lot of great things is going to happen for the WNBA. But for her individually, I don't think she should get involved on nothing that's being said. Just go have fun, enjoy, you know. But I'm rooting for Caitlin because I've been in that seat before. I've walked that road before. I hope she kills. I hope Aaliyah Boston does amazing.
And let's hear from Charles Barkley. He sounded off last night and inside the NBA. He's tired of all the Caitlin Clark hate.
You women out there, y'all petty, man. Hey, LeBron, you 100% right on these girls hating on Caitlin Clark. Y'all petty, girls. I expect men to be petty because we're the most insecure group in the world.
Oh, you are.
Y'all should be thanking that girl for getting y'all ass private charters, all the money and visibility she bringing to the WNBA. Don't be petty like dudes. Listen, what she's accomplished, give her her flowers. Stop being petty, all you women out there. She got y'all ass charters. She bringing all y'all this money to the table for y'all being petty like dudes. LeBron, you are 100% right. Y'all girls, stop being petty. Caitlin Clark, thank you for bringing all that money and shine to the WNBA.
That was awesome. So, it was weird. In March Madness, it seemed like there was a lot of players in the WNBA that were pushing back. You know, Breonna Stewart, Diana Taurasi. Just didn't make any sense. And then I didn't listen to the clip because I just have no time for this nonsense. But I read the headline today that someone on The View says that Caitlin Clark's popularity is about white privilege and pretty privilege. There's such thing as pretty privilege now? So what? The host on The View is saying, and I saw this headline, that because Caitlin Clark is white and she's pretty, that's why there's this sensation? Like, what are we doing here? But let me break some news here. I don't watch Caitlin Clark because she's white and pretty. I watch Caitlin Clark because she's like Steph Curry on a damn basketball court. And she hits threes from a range that no human being living should be able to hit threes. This is the part I hate about the media. Is we have something that's fun. We have something that's positive. We have something that's good. And then we have jackasses trying to say, oh, because it wasn't popular before, it's now popular because she is pretty and white? Like, that's what we're doing? I don't think anyone tunes in to watch Caitlin Clark because she's white and she's pretty. People tune in to watch Caitlin Clark because she does things on the basketball court that we have not seen before. It's just, it's such a positive story. And it's just getting ruined by people just talking out of their you-know-whats. Let's go to Dak Prescott on what his motivations are.
I don't play for money. Never have, never cared for it, to be honest with you. Would give it up to play this game. So I allow that to the business people to say what it's worth, what they're supposed to give a quarterback of my play, a person of my play, leader of my play, I guess you can say. And for me, it's about, as I said, control. I can control and handle that part, and the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, well, you can't control what you can control. You can take less if you want to, if it's not about the money. I don't really buy that. You know, Dak saying it's not about the money, then this deal should have been done because you play for whatever. And taking less would actually benefit the rest of the team with all the other contracts that you have to pay. But we know that never happens. Let's go to Kevin Stefanski. He's happy with Deshaun Watson's progress so far this offseason.
He looked like himself to me. I've been able to watch him the last couple weeks now that we've gotten into phase two, so I've seen him throw. He's making great progress, and we will continue to just follow the medical team on this, but he looks like himself.
Yeah, I know that there's a health part to this. I don't really care anything that Deshaun Watson does in the offseason. It's about the regular season. This guy has not looked like a top seven quarterback since 2020. That's a long, long, long time ago. So there's no excuses for him. That team was very good without him last year. They need to be very good with him this year, and he has to start earning that contract. All righty, we can end it there. It is a news brief, very successful one, on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we'll talk about Donovan Mitchell's future in Cleveland. His coach is now out of a job, not being brought back. And also, there was some reports about Jim Harbaugh, how he wanted to stay in Michigan, ultimately bolted back to the pros, and there's some reasons why he ended up leaving Michigan. We'll get into all that in the final segment of the show on this very busy Thursday. Let's send it over to the man to my left, and that, of course, is Rich Ackerman with the latest Infinity Sports Network update. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, final segment of the week on this Thursday. I am off tomorrow. Do we know who's filling in, by the way, Stu, tomorrow? Do you have any idea who's filling in tomorrow?
Because yes, tomorrow is Linnell Winningham from Washington, D.C.
Oh, I like him. He's a good dude. I heard him driving around last weekend, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was last weekend. So he's in on Friday. I know that on Monday, when we're off for Memorial Day, that it is going to be Carrington Harrison, who's always very good, and I like Carrington. Does a great job in Kansas City. So I do not think there's going to be a YouTube stream if you consume the show via YouTube on Friday and Monday. I know there won't be a YouTube stream, but we'll be back up and running on YouTube on Tuesday when I do return, along with Stu returning, and we will not have Samter until Wednesday. Do we need to get Samter a cake?
Welcome back.
Right?
Balloons.
Get him like a cake for being out for COVID for a week, and then... I sounded like I was from Philadelphia there for a second. COVID for a week. And then moving with the longest move ever. Needed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's 9 days to move. Right? That's crazy.
What, 2 days per room?
He has that many rooms?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think I want to get Samter a cake. Welcome back. We missed you. Anyway, I was reading about Jim Harbaugh, and this is I saw it on CBS Sports. And none of this, like Colton, yeah, I know you're a Michigan fan as well. None of this stuff surprised me. So Jim Harbaugh wanted to remain at Michigan, but he felt the AD was not the advocate he needed in his corner. And this is actually from a book that's coming out, soon to be published. Book, The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. So that's the book that is coming out. what this is told, I already knew about this. Did you know this, that when they were trying to get the new contract extension done, that Ward Manuel didn't want to include a clause in his contract? Well, he wanted to include a clause in the contract that if anything further developed from any of the allegations with the sign stealing, that they had a right to get out of the deal and they had cause to get out of the deal. And Jim Harbaugh's like, no, you guys should take that out. And that was, I guess, the contentious situation that led in part to Jim Harbaugh saying, I'm going back to the NFL.
I did not know that, but I also don't believe that for a second.
Why?
I think he was leaving either way. I think it was gone either way. So, like, maybe. Like, I just never saw him coming back, especially after winning. I mean,
yeah.
I just never thought. I just thought this was a year. I kind of said it when I first joined him. Like, when I first joined Odyssey here, I was like, I think he's going to the Chargers. I think we all knew Brandon Staley stunk.
He wanted the Vikings job a few years ago, too.
See, I always thought it was the Chargers, and, I mean, here he is now. But I just knew. I'm like, he's got the legit quarterback in Herbert. Staley stinks. I'm like, I could see him going there, and here we are.
Yeah.
And he magically rides off in the sunset, leaving Michigan, and I am very thankful for his tenure.
And then I guess, this I did not know, I guess he was supposed to have a meeting with Tony Petitti, and Tony Petitti blew him off in the meeting and didn't show up, and that's why he was annoyed at Tony Petitti, too, the commissioner of the Big Ten.
See, do you believe, I think he's pissed with the Big Ten, absolutely.
So here's what I would say. The first part I do actually believe, because that was talked about. I don't know if we had John U. Bacon on to discuss this, but there was a lot out there about the contract. Because I remember doing a take here on the show that this is the perfect time to get the Harbaugh deal done when the whole allegations came. Because you're going to back your guy, back your coach, and show Jim the love, even if it was warranted or not. But you get the deal done then, and you basically say it's us against the world, bleep this hogwash, and we're finding a way to iron out the deal. And it was that clause that was the holdup. So that I absolutely believe, because when I was reading this, I'm like, I remember talking about this. This is not the first time I heard about that, because they wanted the right to basically tear up the contract if things did further develop with the sign-stealing allegations. The Petitti part, I need more details on. Because was this Harbaugh, like, kind of, I don't want to say bullying, but trying to strong-arm Petitti, hey, we need to have a meeting. But if that's true that Petitti agreed to the meeting and then just let him sit and wait at the meeting, that's kind of low class. It's kind of like what Rodgers did with Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, where LaFleur's like, oh, I want to give you more input on the game plan, and then Rodgers just pick and choose which days he would walk into the meeting and actually meet with coach and would never tell LaFleur. So that'd be days LaFleur would just basically be sitting there, saying, looking at the clock, tick, 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 tick. I guess Aaron is not coming tonight. So the Petitti part, I need more details. If it was Harbaugh blew off the meeting with Petitti, absolutely believe it. But Petitti blowing off the meeting with Harbaugh, why? He's spineless, he's gutless, and he's a coward.
I thought they botched the whole thing, Zach. I mean,
well, here's why they did.
Coaches going out the door. You have one of the biggest coaches in college football. There's not many like main figures, especially with Saban leaving. How do you not do everything in your power to back him? Instead, they tried doing everything to throw Harbaugh underneath the rug, the Big Ten.
Two things. Number one, what Petitti did that was wrong was he expedited the process when the Big Ten and the NCAA never expedites the process. So to do that in season, just because other coaches were annoyed, was baloney. But it ended up making such a joke out of all the allegations and showed how ridiculous it was. Because even without Harbaugh, they still beat those three teams, two of them being Penn State and Ohio State. And then when Harbaugh came back and the whole world was watching, they beat Nick Saban in Alabama and then beat Michael Penix Jr. and Kalen DeBoer at Washington. So they kind of gave the double bleep you. Big Ten didn't end up looking good because they expedited the process. And, oh, we could win even without our coach. Shows you how damn good we are. And then when the coach came back, it was like, oh, it gave him a little extra rallying cry. So the whole thing. I thought it was a waste. I think I was probably, from the start, the person in the national media that spoke out against it first and how ridiculous this was. And then you had people like Paul Feinbaum. Ugh, insufferable. Where he gave him the benefit of the doubt, and I guess because he didn't like that people were criticizing him for giving the benefit of the doubt, he's like, that's the biggest mistake of my career. Oh, the biggest mistake of my career. It was like ridiculous from Paul Feinbaum during that time. So, the bottom line is, I thought the moment he was getting offered an NFL job, he was trying to leave. And I agree with Colton on that point. But if that's true, and I know Ward Manuel is not a popular figure right now in the Michigan community, because, you know, the Dusty May hire was good for him in basketball. That restored a little confidence for people. A little bit with Ward Manuel. But the fact that him and Harbaugh had an icy relationship and they couldn't get a deal done with him, I do think some of it is because Harbaugh wanted to go. But if that is true, that Harbaugh knew that this relationship wasn't going to get repaired and it all came down to the clause of that contract that he would have signed it, which I don't know if that's the case, but that clause being an issue and the fact that they wouldn't just waive that clause, kind of stupid on the part of Ward Manuel and also Michigan.
Very.
And I don't know. The president, Santaona, I don't know where he falls in it too, because he was very pro Jim Harbaugh. So you would think he could find a way to usurp Ward Manuel, but I guess that just didn't happen. Donovan Mitchell's future in Cleveland real quickly. So J.B. Bickerstaff is gone. That tells me one thing. I don't think J.B. Bickerstaff deserved to get fired. The Cleveland Cavaliers are the definition of a team that's good, not great. They can't win a championship. They were in the playoffs. That team got just decimated with injuries, and they still got to the second round. So I don't think J.B. Bickerstaff didn't meet expectations and didn't do a good job with the Cleveland Cavaliers, but it tells me that he lost the locker room. And I don't know how you lose that locker room. I really don't. Like, I don't put that on him. I think that's more of a player issue and a lack of accountability in that locker room. But I got to think, with them trying to get a deal done with Donovan Mitchell, and it seems like Donovan Mitchell, even though he'll say publicly he wants to, that a lot of the conversation about him is speculation, but you have a chance to get a new deal done this offseason. But if you don't, I don't think the Cavs could play the risk of playing out this contract and then losing him for basically nothing, or losing him in a sign-and-trade where you're not going to get nearly enough back. So this tells me that Donovan Mitchell was done with J.B. Bickerstaff, and I just wonder why that relationship did deteriorate, and we'll never find the answer out to that, because it's not going to come out of the Donovan Mitchell side and his camp. And I would think J.B. Bickerstaff, maybe his camp leaks it out, but I think he's going to try to go find another job in the NBA because, you know, a head coaching job, but does it really help you if that side of your story is leaking out when you could just address it with people when they're interviewing you? But, like, NBA coaches, it's crazy. Like, I don't think J.B. Bickerstaff has coached his final game in the NBA. Like, these head coaching jobs, it's like being in a whorehouse, for crying out loud, with how many coaches just jump around the league, around the league, around the league. You know, I know he was the head coach in Memphis, and now he's the head coach at Cleveland. I would think he would get a third head coaching job. I would actually be surprised if he did not. He was the interim in Houston as well for a big chunk of that season where they did lose in the playoffs. 71 games, he was 37-34 as the interim coach at Houston back in 2015 and 2016. So we'll see who they end up replacing him. There's talks about like Terry Stotts and Kenny Atkinson. Atkinson, I'm actually surprised he hasn't got another job. Well, he was supposed to be the Hornets coach, and then he backed out of it. But I'm surprised Atkinson is not back on a sideline. And you do have some former Nets there, Caris LeVert and Jared Allen. So maybe Atkinson, who had a good relationship with those guys, is going to be the next head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But none of those names really excite me. Like, Terry Stotts, nice guy. Atkinson would be somewhat exciting, but I don't think he's a great coach. I just think he's a good, solid coach that knows how to develop players. But I think they're past the developmental stage with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it's like, yeah, okay, you're getting rid of J.B. Bickerstaff. He didn't deserve to get fired, but who are you really going to replace him that's going to be that much better with the situation that you're currently in? And ultimately, it all comes down to if Donovan Mitchell wants to stay. And I don't know if Donovan Mitchell wants to stay. Because if Donovan Mitchell wants to leave, okay, the Sixers will come calling. Lakers will come calling. The Nets will come calling. The Knicks probably will come calling. The Miami Heat will probably come calling. That's five teams right there off the top of the cabeza. So I got to think that there will be plenty of teams that will come calling for Donovan Mitchell. All righty, fun week. Appreciate you hanging out with us on the Infinity Sports Network for the Zach Gelb Show. Big thanks to Brandon Cooks and Jerome Bettis for stopping by. I know this is a fun weekend for a lot of people, Memorial Day weekend, really the start of summer, and you get all the barbecues going, but remember, why we do have Memorial Day. And it's for the people and the heroes that did have to pay the ultimate sacrifice to protect us in this great country that we do live in. So when you're having a great weekend, just make sure to remember the people that did make the ultimate sacrifice. We will be back on Tuesday across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and, of course, streaming live on YouTube. Hopefully, when we are back on Tuesday, the Rangers have made this a series up against the Florida Panthers. As I was at game one last night, and I was not happy as they're down 0-1. Big thanks to Colton. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to each and every one of you. Have a great extended weekend, and we will talk to you on Tuesday, everybody. All righty, we out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.